Please take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 4. Let me read, and this is by way of review, let me read verses 1 through 5 for you to, again, lay the context of what we're going to be looking at this morning. Verse 1 of Genesis 4, "And Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she again bare her brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So we have one brother being a shepherd and the other Cain being a farmer. "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof." And the significance of that statement, the fat thereof, indicates that Abel brought the best of the best. In other words, he chose the best lamb, sheep that he could bring to God. "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." In these first five verses, we find three points. Point number one is everyone has a hopeful beginning. Both Cain and Abel had the opportunity to bring an acceptable offering unto the Lord. And you and I do too. All of us have hope. All of us have a shot at heaven. And then point number two, belief determines how we worship. There is false self-righteous worship, which trusts in one's own works. And that summarizes Cain's offering, trusting in his own works, which we see in the fact that he brought of the fruit of the ground unto the Lord. He brought what he produced, what he planted, what he watered, what he harvested. He brought that offering to the Lord. But then there is true worship, whose heart is penitent, contrite, humble. And such a heart brings a sacrificial offering to the Lord, which pictures the ultimate sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus. And as we've studied, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his bloody offering. To bring an acceptable offering unto the Lord, it has to have blood. The blood signifies cleansing from sin. And of course, our sacrifice for sin is the bloody offering of Jesus Christ. And so, as we've studied, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. In other words, he did not accept it. Which brings us to Cain's response to God's rejection of his offering, which we see in point number three, the ungodly resent the true people of God. Cain was, verse 5, was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Those who offer God unacceptable worship inevitably resent those who worship God in an acceptable way. Now that was our message 3 weeks ago. I want us to pray and then look at what happens when a person rejects God's redemption. We've seen what happens when God rejected Cain's offering, his response to that rejection. I want us to see what happens when a person rejects God's subsequent offering of redemption. And so let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. Lord, I pray that we will love you. I pray that we will serve you. I pray that our hearts will bring an acceptable offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Under point number four, unbelievers reject God's offer of redemption. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face so slumped? Why are you so upset at me and at your brother?" This doesn't have to be the end of the story. This doesn't have to be the way it ends. Notice verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Here is God being who God truly is, Savior. Always understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God, first and foremost, seeks to be Savior. He seeks to be your Savior. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at yourself if you're not doing right, because He's seeking to be your Savior. That is huge. So here God is saying, Cain, you can repent. You can do what James says, cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can do what Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You can forsake your wicked ways. You can turn from your unrighteous thoughts. You can return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon you and to your God, for He will abundantly pardon you. Cain, if you repent, Cain, if you ask me for cleansing, you will be accepted. Your anger will be turned into peace. Your brooding, dejected face will be lifted up in joy, which is the joy of repentance, which is the joy of forgiveness, which is the joy of obedience. You can disobey God all you want. You can go your own way all you want, but there will never be joy in your heart when you take that way. Never will be. Only God, through His Son, can truly bring us joy. Remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was told by God to go join himself to this chariot in which this Ethiopian eunuch was riding. And they came to, as he was in this chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch, what did he do? He told them what Isaiah the prophet was saying about Jesus Christ. And the Ethiopian eunuch accepted the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And subsequently then, he said, well, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou canst be baptized. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And what does the last phrase of that story in Acts chapter 8 tell us? And he went his way rejoicing. You always go away rejoicing when you're doing what God wants you, commands you to do. Honestly, that should be a whole lot there to motivate us to want to do what's right, amen? Just the fact that we can experience the joy of our salvation. Again, here is God being who He truly is. He is being the Savior of sinners. But then on the other hand, Cain said, and we see this in verse 7, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God said to Cain, Cain, if you don't do right, sin like a beast of prey, sin like a roaring, rapacious lion is crouching at your door, and it will pounce on you, and it will destroy you. In other words, sin, when it is finished, will bring to you death. Remember, James says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God was saying to Cain, Cain, you can either do right and master sin, or you can do wrong and sin will master you. With the end result, it will destroy you. You can either master sin or sin will master you and it will destroy you. It will, like a hungry lion, chew you up and devour you. Remember what 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tells us. Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now it is the same with us. We've been born sinners. Sin is in us. It is crouching at our door, ready to destroy us. But if we come to Christ, if we repent of our sin, if we turn around, Repentance is you're going in one direction, you're going in the ways of the world and the flesh and the devil, but you turn around, you do 180, and you come to Christ. If you repent of your sin, if you embrace the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then you too, we too, can triumph over sin. We too can master it. You want to be able to say, by God's grace, sin is not mastering me, I am mastering it. We can then reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We can then yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, rather than our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. For sin will then not have dominion over us. We see that in Romans chapter 6. But sad to say, Cain rejected God's personal offer of redemption. He said, God, I don't want your forgiveness. Keeping in mind, as I said as I read the scripture, here is God speaking personally to Cain. God wasn't speaking through a prophet. He was speaking face to face. Cain rejected God's personal offer of redemption. He said, God, I don't want your forgiveness. God, I don't want your offering. God, I don't want your righteousness. I love my sin. My heart hankers for sin. I am going to continue to sin. My heart's fulfillment is going to be found in my sin. And what we see here is a heart that can be freed from sin and its judgment, but says to God, my answer to you is no. My answer to you is no. Here is God actually again speaking to Cain. Now let me say, when we like Cain tell God, sorry, I don't want to repent and forsake my sin, I don't want to accept your offering of redemption, bad results always follow. Bad. Really bad results follow. There are always bad consequences when we sin. Now, we think we're really cute. We think we're really smart. We think, well, it's not going to happen to us. But I can promise you, you're dead wrong. Bad will happen. And the first, and this is under point number 4, the first bad thing that happens is your relationships are destroyed. Notice verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Let me just pause here and say, what makes life really kind of interesting, I don't know if fun, that's kind of a trite word, isn't it? Fun. But really what makes life, I'll use it, what makes life fun is the relationships you have in life. Isn't it? I mean, who wants to go through life as a solo pilot? I don't. Who wants to go through life as just living on an island by yourself? I wouldn't want to be on an island. I like people. I really do. I like you guys. And so relationships really matter. They're important. But when we sin, when we have willful, unconfessed, unrepented sin in our lives, it affects our relationships. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Hebrew word for his brother emphasizes closeness, emphasizes intimacy. In other words, Cain and Abel were close. They had a friendship. They had a relationship. But here Cain viciously and brutally killed his one and only brother. One author writes, Cain invented murder. Wow. He invented murder. Now, the Hebrew word for slew or killed is a common word used in the Old Testament for intentional murder, first-degree murder. It is a murder done out of jealousy, out of hatred, out of vengeance. Again, Cain killed his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous, 1 John 3:12. Ladies and gentlemen, sin not only ultimately destroys the sinner, but in the process it destroys relationships that that person has with those who love and care for him the most. You know, when we have sin in our lives, and we're talking, you know, here the context speaks of an unregenerate, unsaved individual named Cain, but it really is true for those of us who are Christians. Sin mars, sin ruins, sin destroys relationships we have, even as Christians. And I see it all the time. Again, in both the saved and the unsaved alike. Sin destroys family relationships. It destroys the union of husband and wife. Sin destroys the bond parents have with their children. Sin destroys the nearness of friends. Sin destroys the kinship in churches. This beautiful God-ordained communion called friendship, sin destroys. Now, sinners don't necessarily resort to first-degree murder. Now, it does happen. Here in the text, it happened. But what does die, what is destroyed, is the heart of love that used to exist between friends. That heart of love that used to exist between family members, between church members, and it is honestly, literally replaced with hatred. Do you know that sin will cause your heart to have hatred in it towards someone that you formerly loved? Is it that true? It really is. Can we imagine a husband and wife who love each other, who desire to live with each other and raise a family, and sin comes into that heart, and all of a sudden, and it doesn't take long, because sin has immediate effect. And that love turns to hatred. How sad. The heart dies filled with hatred. Which brings us to the second result of forsaking God, and that is people become liars. Not only do they become murderers in their heart, and remember, you know, if we have hatred in our hearts, we are actually, in God's sight, a murderer. But not only does sin cause our relationship between others to take on not love but hatred, but we become liars in the process. And in Cain's case, when the Lord asked him in verse 9, Cain, where is thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Is that a lie? Cain in his lying, false response said, you know, I'm not responsible in the least for my brother. Am I my brother's keeper? I am not my brother's keeper. Which tells me when sin has pounced, it turns people into both murderers and liars, which is exactly who Satan is. He was a murderer and a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44, Christ speaking, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Think about it. When a person says no to God in his ways, when he rejects God's redemption, he becomes like Satan, a man full of murderous hatred and lies. I don't know about you, but that is really sobering. I mean, that gets my attention. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't mess around with sin. It turns you into something bad. It turns you into a murderous, lying individual. Now we think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're only fooling yourself. You say, well, boy, I didn't come this morning to be told I was a murderer and a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God saying that. And because we are now murderers and liars, remember, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. We are then, and here is the third result of forsaking God, we are judged by God. Eventually, like Cain, we wind up at the judgment bar of God. Notice verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? God still is continuing to speak. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God said to Cain, I know you have done something evil. There is evidence. The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I hear your brother Abel's blood crying out to me. Sin always leaves a trail. Sin always leaves a voice. For every crime committed rises to God. It cries to God. What that sin does is it cries out to God. That's why you can't cover your sin. That's why be sure your sin will find you out, because that sin is crying out to God. And by the way, God has good ears. And that is why David said in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear, and that word means proven right, when thou judgest. God always knows what we've done. Yes, when a person sins, he sins against others, but sin is also against God. And the victim's bloody voice cries out to God before his heavenly throne, demanding divine vengeance. And God then renders his judgment, which means he renders a divine curse. Notice verse 11. And now art thou, what's the next word? Cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Notice the specifics now of God's curse on Cain. Verse 12, when thou tillest, or when thou cultivatest the ground, it shall no longer yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond, that's a big word meaning a wanderer, shalt thou be in the earth. What was God saying to Cain regarding his cherished profession? Remember, Cain was a farmer. Remember, Abel was a shepherd. What is God saying now to this cherished profession that Cain loved? I mean, it was his life. He says, you will now miserably fail in your profession. You'll never be able to farm again. You will not succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want God to tell you you won't succeed. Now, you might have men, you might have acquaintances, you might have colleagues telling you you won't succeed. And you say, well, I'm going to prove them wrong. But when you have God telling you you won't succeed, you won't succeed. Isn't it true, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy? Proverbs 28:13. Now the question is, why didn't God just kill Cain? I thought God is for capital punishment. Isn't it true that if you take a life, you are to give your life? Well, God didn't immediately kill Cain because he wanted to show him, and I love this, I love this. He wanted to show Cain grace. He wanted to show him grace. Grace keeps calling the sinner home. Aren't we glad for His grace? You know, God is black and white. There's not gray with God. But I'll tell you, He's full of grace. I'm so glad for His grace. And we'll see God trying to woo Cain back. But perhaps the second reason God allowed Cain to live was to show us what an unbeliever's life is like. Maybe I could put it this way, to show us what someone who's walking in sin, unconfessed sin's life is like. What a life marked by intentional sin resembles. What a life apart from God, a life out of fellowship with God is like. You know, God says such a person here in the text will be a vagrant, a wanderer, a fugitive. He will have no true purpose in life. He will be a lost person. He will be aimlessly wandering through the earth, awaiting God's ultimate divine judgment. Wow. For there is nothing in such a life of eternal value. Nothing that can have lasting meaning. It is simply a life lived with hopelessness. You always, when you get up in the morning, you always want to start your day with hope. You always want to say, here's another day. Lord, I have another chance. I blew it yesterday, but I have another chance today by your grace. You always want to begin your day with hope. But when a person continues to say no, no, no to God, his life becomes filled with hopelessness. Now Cain, as we see, protested his judgment. Notice verses 13 and 14. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now did you notice in Cain's protesting, there was still no repentance? Yes, Cain protested God's punishment, but there was still no repentance. Now, don't you think after hearing what his life was about to become, that Cain would have said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner, and save me for your sake? I mean, if I had just heard that my life from this point on, if I did not repent, was going to be a hopeless, vagabond, wandering, fugitive type of life in this world, that would have gotten my attention. I would have said, boy, I need to get to the altar and I need to get on my knees and I need to do some talking, some plain talking with God. But here he is saying, God, you're not fair. God, you're not just. God, you're not right. I don't deserve to be marked, and I don't deserve to be the object of someone's desire to slay me, to kill me. I don't deserve that. I say how hard man's heart can become, how hard sin makes the heart of man. Well, God in His grace said, notice in His grace said, notice verse 15, you see, the grace continues to be poured out upon Cain. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord, notice, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I'm not sure what all that means, to be frank with you. But there was some protection that God put around Cain. But here again is the patience and the forbearance of God. Here again we see God being gracious to a wicked, reprobate man. Here we see God is being Cain's protector. He's still trying to be his savior. And again, why does God do that? Why is God long-suffering to us? Well, the answer, Romans 2:4, he wants to lead us to repentance. The goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. Remember God, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you think God takes delight in seeing people that he loved, that he sent his son to die for? Do you think he takes delight in seeing those people perish? No way. I believe God was still trying to woo Cain back to himself. Which brings us to the final aspect of God's earthly judgment on Cain. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, which means Cain defiantly turned his back on God, and he pointed his face to the world. It isn't God moving Cain out from his presence. It's Cain deliberately, on his own, leaving the presence of the Lord. With an unrepentant heart, Cain chose to live apart from God, and God finally said to Cain, go. 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 Cain settled in the land of Nod. Verse 16. Now, Nod is, I find this fascinating. You know, the word is really fascinating. You know what Nod? Do you know they don't even know where Nod is? Doesn't that picture someplace Cain would end up? Someplace that we don't even know about. It's like, you know, everything is just kind of wiped clean. No remembrance. No significance. Cain went to live in a no-count place. We don't even know where it's at, which symbolizes the place where God is no longer considered. And it means wandering. And so what a picture of the man who, yes, starts out with hope, but who does not believe the record that God has given to us, which is this eternal life is found in his Son. Which tells us when we get Jesus wrong, our worship becomes unacceptable, hypocritical, self-righteous. With the result, we reject God, we resent his people, we then reject God, we reject his word, and then rather than confess and repent of our sin, we say no, and we go our defiant way, which leads to an aimlessly wandering life controlled by the system of Satan. Such are the children of Cain. You don't want to be a child of Cain. Such is the judgment of God. The way of Cain is not the narrow way that leads to life. It's the broad road that leads to what? Destruction. The results of unacceptable worship. The results of unacceptable sacrifice. I quote it again. As I close, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, tell us this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him and to our God. And I love this last statement. And he will abundantly pardon. Wow. He will abundantly pardon. Ladies and gentlemen, do you need that abundant pardon today? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Forsake your evil ways, and he will show you abundant mercy, grace, He will pardon you.